It was not a sudden going up to the top of the mountain. The graph slowly began to move upwards. And it is not a perfectly straight line. I want to say that also for your encouragement. There were little dips in it, but not such huge dips like before. Small little dips, but the dips were on a graph that was going upwards. That's the encouraging thing. I was going upwards, but there were small, small dips, and I was going up and up and up and up. And the dips became less frequent. It's a wonderful life. I'm not telling a fairy tale. This is really my testimony. And the most important thing the Lord showed me was, I allowed you to go to the depth of defeat to teach you that I do not give the Holy Spirit to those who think they deserve Him, but to the most undeserving, and at the time when they deserve it, deserve Him the least. That cured me of ever thinking that the Holy Spirit is something you work for and get. You know how the entire religious world thinks they have to work for forgiveness of sins? Back in India, there are people who roll on the ground to get forgiveness of sins, who go and dip themselves in rivers. There are many people in many religions who light candles and pray to Mary and so many other gods to get forgiveness. What all they do to forgive sins, they give hundreds of thousands of dollars to get forgiveness of sins, or rupees in India. No. How did you get forgiveness of sins? How many rupees did you pay? How many dollars did you pay to get forgiveness of sins? How many times did you roll on the ground to get forgiveness of sins? We look at all those people and say, boy, I wish they could understand. You don't have to roll on the ground, brother. You don't have to dip in a river. It's free. You mean it's free? Yes, it's free. What about an undeserving wretch like me? You are the most qualified if you are an undeserving wretch. Are you the chief of sinners? Christ died for you, man. Come right and get. And how long will it take me to get this forgiveness of sins? Do I have to wait 6 months or something? No, it's immediate. The birth process in the kingdom of God, I mean, there may be a lot of preparation for it, like in the mother's womb, a baby's formed, but the birth itself is a moment. And that's how new birth is. There may be a lot of preparation for it, of repentance, but you're born again. It's a moment, and it's not for those who are deserving. No, I certainly didn't deserve it. No, far from it. I mean, if God picked on the basis of merit, He'd have picked a lot of other people before me, lots of other people. It's not on merit that I got my forgiveness of sins. That's why I can be bold to say that. And it's not on my merit that I got filled with the Holy Spirit. God showed, and if God had filled me with the Holy Spirit at the time when I was not backsliding and I was living a pretty good life, I might have thought, it's because I've been so faithful, God filled me with the Holy Spirit. And thank God He filled me at a time when I was utterly, utterly defeated, to show me that the Holy Spirit is given not to those who deserve Him, but to those who need Him desperately. Oh boy, I needed Him desperately that day. I say that for your encouragement, because some of you, though you hear this so often, you still live under the illusion that I have to pray some more, I have to fast some more, I've got to do something more. No, sir. No, sister. You have to yield everything and be honest about your defeated life and believe that God is true when He says something in His book. If you don't believe, He can't do anything. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You can have everything else in your life, but you don't have faith, it is impossible to please Him. So, we read in Luke in chapter 11, two parables. One is related to being filled with the Holy Spirit, and the other is related to overcoming sin and Satan. Two parables. Do you know that Jesus only spoke two parables on prayer? And those are the only two parables I want to point out today. Number one is Luke chapter 11. How to get into this promised land of Canaan. And the disciples came to Jesus and, Lord, teach us to pray. Chapter 11, verse 1. Luke 11, verse 1. And the Lord gives a long answer. teach us to pray. Many people finish at verse 4 and say, okay, you know, our Father who art in heaven, they go through a whole prayer and that's over. The fuller prayer is in Matthew 6. This is a little extract. But that is not the end of the answer to the Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray is the question in verse 1. And then it says, okay, I'll tell you what you should do. When you pray, say this, be concerned about God's name, be concerned about God's kingdom, be concerned about God's glory, and not your own needs first. God is not honored or glorified by your defeated life. That's what you need to be concerned about first of all. Forget about your daily bread and your even forgiveness of sins comes later on. But God is not honored by your life. We pray for that. Father, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come, and so on. And then he said, I want to continue my answer. Your question is, teach us to pray. I'll tell you how to pray. Supposing you have a friend, and that friend is God. He is your friend. And you go to him in the middle of the night and say, Lord, please give me something to help someone who is in need here. Here he's thinking of serving God. You shall receive power. What does Acts 1:8 say? You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth. You shall be witnesses. So the Holy Spirit comes into our life to make us a blessing to others, not just to satisfy ourselves. You remember what Jesus said? If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow rivers. Rivers are not for myself. I don't need a river. A well is enough for me. What the Lord told the Samaritan woman, a well of water springing up, that's enough for me. The Lord says, no, you got to be a river. Not one river, but many rivers, that wherever you go, people are blessed. You know, when you look at the maps of the world, not nowadays, but you look at some of the ancient maps, the ancient civilization always gathered together in certain areas of a country. And it's always around the rivers. It's always like that. Because they needed water. You go to the desert places, Sahara or the middle of Australia, nobody lives there. Why? Because there's no water. Rivers, that's where people gathered. And when rivers are flowing out of a person, the Lord will bring the people, those who are thirsty for that water. That's how we are to build the church. That's how the church is built. That I understood much later. Rivers of living water will flow out from. So you're concerned about others. If you're not concerned about others, you can't build the church, I'll tell you that. If you're only concerned about yourself, sorry. You begin there, and you go to him and say, give me 3 loaves, not for myself. I'm quite happy, but a friend of mine has come. I don't have anything to give him. So the 2 things I need to recognize. One, I'm a concern for these other people who are in need around me, who are lost without salvation, or who are defeated in sin. I must have a concern for them. Lord, a friend of mine is thoroughly defeated by sin. I want to paraphrase that. Please give me some power to help him to come into this godly life. I'm satisfied. You brought me to victory, but he hasn't come to that life. And I have nothing to set before him. I got victory, but I don't know how to lead this person into this life. Do you feel like that? Well, this guy was honest. And now God doesn't actually say that, but he tests our persistence. In the story, the neighbor says, don't bother me. I can't get up now and give my children are in bed. And the Lord is trying to show you the apparent ridiculousness of someone. First of all, you won't go to your neighbor at midnight and ask for bread. If a friend has come in the middle of the night, it's better not to ask him whether he ate or not if you don't have any food in the house. Because you'll be embarrassed if you don't have any food in the house. But this guy asked and he found he didn't eat and said, okay, I'm going to get it for you. I don't care how much embarrassment it costs me, I'll go to my neighbor and knock until I get it. And even if the neighbor says, now, please keep quiet, I have to sleep, my children are asleep, he says, I don't care. I'm going to keep on banging here till you give me a... Look at the burden he had to help other people to be fed with a message of victory. You know, when you're really filled with the Spirit, that's what happens. I know it happened to me. When I got forgiveness of sins, it's excited me so much that I wanted to share that with others. I'd give out tracts in the buses and stand on the streets because I wanted people to know that Jesus forgives sins. You got to do nothing. And the same thing happened when I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I found a life of victory. I had such a burden. I got to share this with others. I said, Lord, I don't know how to do it, Lord, but I want to help others because I see around me people are constantly defeated, families that are in a mess because sin rules their life. Help me to help them. And I need power for that. I don't have anything to help them. That's how you went. If you're like that, my brother, sister, if you are like that, if you got a burden, not just for yourself, selfishly for yourself, but if you got a burden for others, I had a burden for my children. I said, Lord, how in the world can I lead my children into this life? How in the world can I lead others whom I know into this life? I have a burden. Your children will never follow the Lord if you don't have a burden for them. I'll tell you that. You got to have a burden, not just that they get educated and fed and clothed, but that they will come into a godly life, that rivers of living water will flow out from their life. You have a burden? You got to have a burden from the time they are 1 year old. You got to have a burden to pray for them. And it says here, this is the wonderful verse, verse 8, last part, because of his persistence, the neighbor got up and gave him whatever he needs. And then he says, now what's the point of this parable? You ask me to teach you to pray, right? Verse 1. Okay, I'm teaching you how to pray. You ask like this man asked, and you'll get it. And you ask to bless your neighbor, you'll get it. And seek like this man sought, and you'll find. Are you seeking for some understanding of Scripture? Seek like this man sought, you'll find it. If you're too lazy to read the Word of God, you'll never find it. Knock like this man knocked, and the door will be open to you. There are very few believers who knock like this man knocked. They knock a few times, they're okay, I got to go to sleep now. Well, no wonder you don't get anything even after 50 years. You won't get anything in 100 years. This man was determined, I'm not going to give up until I get something. Because, verse 10, everyone who asks like this will receive. Everyone. There's no partiality with God.